Good morning. Today is Monday, the 22nd of November. Joining us this morning from, well, Humboldt County's Animal Control Division of the Sheriff's Department. I get it right?
Yes.
All right. Andrea Hale, good morning. Good morning. That's right. Okay, now you can let everybody know that I got it right.
All right. Yes, that's
All right. It's a good week already. And you brought along a buddy this morning, huh?
Yes, I brought along Animal Control Officer Taylor Peterson.
Hello.
You really like your mask, don't you? Geez, now we got a mic on and we have a mask off. Cool. All right, we're ready for the show. You guys ready for your question? Well, you already know the answer. So I can't do that one. I'm going to have to say that for somebody else.
All right.
It just kind of destroys the spontaneity of everything. She got it right in the warm-up. And I got it way wrong. Okay. Why is a presentation sometimes called a dog and pony show? We'll keep it in the animal neighborhood.
I'm not quite sure.
Taylor?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, neither of you. Okay. Dog and Pony Show originally described, somewhat sarcastically, a small circus that had little to offer in the way of animal acts. No lions, no elephants, no horses, just dogs and ponies. After a while, the expression was used to describe any unimpressive performance.
All right. Now I know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like in elementary school. Retention. Perhaps not, huh? Oh. This time of the year, yeah, you know, I think last time we got together, it was approaching Easter.
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there, we talked about bunnies for gifts and all that kind
it was
of stuff.
Just after, Taylor was pretty new last time I was here.
Yeah, it was just.
Oh, she looks like a grizzled veteran now. With the weather we're experiencing now, with the cold coming back, or brisk, if you will. Yeah, this is all supposed to be natural stuff for most of the critters that you guys see, the dogs and the cats and bunnies and all that kind of stuff. Do you see any change either in the animals in the shelter or that are on the street, so to speak, that you're picking up? Are they moving around a little bit more, a little bit less? Are they more in numbers? I mean, is there a seasonality to what you are dealing with?
The only real seasonality that occurs is puppy and kitten season. So we get hit with large amounts of young animals or pregnant animals during those seasons. And we're just coming to the end of puppy and kitten season. You know, we'll still have some more over the next month or so, but it's trickling down. But we received way more kittens this year than we have in quite a few years. And quite a few puppies, too.
So it's kind of like the harvest season with the egg.
Yeah.
You know, bring in the wheat, bring in the dog kind of thing also.
Yep.
Are there more adoptables, if you will, year over year? Is that a trend that we're seeing?
The shelter on average gets in about 2,000 animals per year. And, you know, quite a few go up for adoption. You know, our stats for dogs is about half are returned home.
Oh, really? It's that high?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And about 30% go up for adoption. And then the remaining 20% are transferred out to other rescues or shelters to find placement.
Is there, I know it's not your guys' primary business, but let's say, Taylor, I give you a buzz or see you on the street and say, hey, you guys got any blank breeds? Is there any tracking for that or networking? You know, I know part of it is maintaining what's going on.
Right.
And keeping, you know, the control part.
Right.
The other part is the animal part. You know, and if it's someone or an animal that, say, is adopted from Chico instead of from Humboldt, you know, in the grand scope of things, it's still a win.
Right.
But is it... Is that something the volunteers are able to do or staff works,
you know,
with at all?
It's one of those things that, you know, if someone says, oh, I'm looking for a poodle, you know, let me know if you ever have one. Well, I'll tell you right now that that's it, you might not hear from me for a couple of years.
So because of the breed or because of your memory?
We're busy. I may forget.
Oh, workload too. But, okay.
But also because that breed is rarely brought into our shelter. And if it is, it's often returned back to its owner.
Do most of the animals have the chips in them? Or on them, I guess?
They're in. You know, they're implanted underneath the skin. I don't know a number, like would say how many animals that we've received that are scanned and positive for a microchip.
Well, if 50% are returned, I mean, that's a pretty good indicator that there's a pretty good number.
Yeah. Not all of them that are returned to home are returned because they had any identification at all. Some of them are returned because the owner found their animal posted on our website and
showed
gave
up.
Us a call or called, you know, our shelter looking for their animal. And we're like, okay, yeah, we picked them up, you know, running down the road.
Taylor, now that you got a couple months under your belt, I'm sure you've got a couple of stories and that kind of stuff. But but when you see animals that are of their neighborhood versus totally lost, can you tell the difference?
Usually, actually, if you follow a dog, most of the time they'll take you to their house. And
oh, really?
Yeah. You can tell as soon as they enter their yard, they'll be protective of their yard. And it's pretty easy to just follow a dog back home.
So you're more of an escort in that kind of a scenario?
Pretty much, yeah. If they don't lead me home, then I'll catch them. But a lot of times they'll just go right back to their house.
So they're just kind of cruising the neighborhood, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's reassuring somehow. Now, dogs that really are lost, how difficult is it to get them?
Depends on how scared they are. Some won't let you near them at all, and you end up chasing them into some green bush area, or it just depends on how friendly they are.
You don't have, like, a tiger pit lined up and you run them? No. Okay.
No.
little bit. What are you looking at me like that for?
We use a lot of treats.
Yes, and some of us have even resorted to stopping in at a convenience store and picking up a package of hot dogs.
I'm getting more tricks of the trade when we come back.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Andra Hale and Taylor Peterson from Humboldt Animal Control. It's an animal control? Animal Control Services, the animal shelter. What?
The official title is...
I know you got one of Billy's old shirts there. It just says sheriff.
Yeah. the official title is Humboldt County Animal Care and Control. But We don't ever use that. It's on our envelopes. In our header.
Well, you will at least two more times this morning. Animal care and control.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Because, you know, we're responsible for animal sheltering, the care.
Right.
And animal control officers as well for this sheriff's office.
I know dogs have different personalities and breeds have certain tendencies, but are there certain types of animals, whether they're outdoor animals or indoor animals or certain breeds, that are more apt to be runners? Or, on the flip side, I guess, apt to be, show characteristics of being blonde and kind of forget where they are, get out there and get lost?
You know, the one that we always point out, especially here lately, is the Siberian Husky. The Husky is an escape artist, and it's a runner. And
Just natively. They come in that way.
You know, if you reach out to any Husky groups, the first thing they tell you is you need to have a secure yard. Unfortunately, you know, being in a rural area, the other thing that they tend to do is attack livestock.
Oh, so they're nibblers also.
Yes, so they, you know, because the Husky is not far from the wolf, they do have a little bit higher prey drive than some other breeds do. And, yeah, usually what they end up doing when they get loose is finding a goat to chew on or a sheep.
Yeah, I understand. We had one for a short time. It had been abused by the drug community, so it didn't make it too long. Tough to train. Independent streak, I think, is how they said it in dog training class.
Yes.
Yes. This is an independent streak, so you'll have to... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are there... What are the ones that are more docile? Or is there just a whole bunch of those?
You know, every breed has its characteristic that makes them that breed, and each, you know, they're so. And then there's individuals within the breed that aren't necessarily, you know, so
the outliers. Typically, yeah.
Typically, you know, the, you know, mindset is that the lab is a good lazy dog that's just going to kind of hang out and be all about their master. But it really depends on training that goes into that dog. And the age of the dog, because a lab isn't a good lab until it's at least 5 years old, because the early years are their crazy years.
Yeah. That's pretty true with most animals,
though,
isn't it?
That's true with most breeds. You know?
Yeah.
So they each have their own, you know, little unique things that go to the breed, which, you know, is the reason why, you know, a person may say, oh, I only will own boxers, or I'll only own, you know, poodles or whatever.
Do you have a lot of, at the shelter and care center, do you get a lot of requests or people monitoring for certain breeds? We have a Leonberger, and it seems, you know, we had never heard of the breed before we had Leo. We're walking down the street. Is that a... Mm-hmm. Okay, Newfie is what we were looking for, but that one, I guess, is just as rare. Are there people that are certain breeds that you just don't see breaking out, or don't see on the lamb, so to speak? Well, not on the goat, on the lamb.
There's, you know, we can get in just about any breed. You know, it just depends on, you know, what the situation was. There's, you know, the more rare breeds are often, you know, picked up by their owner if we end up with them, although they're often microchipped if it's an expensive dog. We do have people...
I just don't think of those dogs as the breakout model. You know, yeah, just kind of big and lumbering and, yeah, you know, drooling, you know, that you may drown if you're too close to them, but that's, you know,
there's
about
things,
it.
Things happen, though. You know, the storm happens, the wind, you know,
the fence could blow down,
Or blows the gate open, or the gardener comes to your house and leaves the gate open, you know, all kinds of things. And then they just go on walkabout and go check things out and see what they can find. Some dogs will get out of their backyard and just go sit on their front porch. It just kind of depends.
Yeah, that one's
on
happened a couple times with us, too. A little surprise at the front door.
Like, how'd you get there?
So, Taylor, how do you deal with an animal that weighs as much or more than you do?
I put it in the easiest spot in my truck.
Okay.
Which is usually the back seat. If they're willing to climb up into it. If I have to put them in one of the back kennels, I'll have them, I have to like situate
head first.
Them to put their front feet up first, and then I lift their back end up.
Okay.
So that they're less heavy.
One half at a time, huh?
Yeah, one half at a time.
Don't bring out the flatbed and put them up on that.
No, we have a ramp, but a lot of dogs won't do the ramp.
I would think that's kind of a little different thing, unless you're accustomed to that.
Right. Yeah. If they've experienced it, then they do okay. But if they've never seen a ramp before, then they're scared of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the funny sound.
Yeah, because they
When walking on it.
Well, yeah. You know, it's kind of like when they're on the hardwood floors, running on hardwood floors and losing traction. So it's the same thing. They tend to want to, like, dig their nails into the ramp as they climb up, and they just lose traction and it scratches, and, you know.
Then you got to pick them up and put them in there anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then I got to move the ramp.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Andrea Hale and Taylor Peterson from Humboldt County Animal Control, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you get one of these rarer or less common breeds, are they treated differently, or is the marketplace or the community just one that tends to react a little quicker to those instead of, you know, mutt number 14 that's just kind of an every guy and gal dog rather than something that has either a, well, I don't know if you don't do DNA testing, do you?
We don't do.
Okay, so you don't know if it's a purebred or not.
Right.
But the different types of animals, will they spark interest if they are uncommon?
Most definitely. Like, if it's a, like, a few years ago, we had a Schnauzer poodle mix, and we knew it was a Schnauzer poodle mix because of, it wasn't the first time we had this particular dog, and...
Oh, a return customer.
Yes, you know, many of them are return customers. We see them a few times. Anyway, this one in particular did not go back to its owner. It was placed up for adoption, and it was adopted within the first 30 minutes that we were open.
Okay. And that means somebody showed up?
They were there right away.
This wasn't a phone call.
No. They were there before we even opened to interact with the dog, meet the dog, and do the adoption.
If somebody sees you in the neighborhood, Taylor, and they're missing a dog, or I guess, or a cat, can they flag you down?
Yeah, absolutely. And it happens. People will flag me down asking if I have their dog, if I caught it, or if I've seen a dog that they're looking for, I tell them I'll keep an eye out or make a lost dog report.
Well, that'd be kind of cool if you had somebody on board and you were able to get rid of them that quickly.
Yeah, it's happened where I've gotten a dog and somebody flagged me down in like a parking lot where I was making a phone call and they were like, have you seen a dog? And it is their dog, and I get to turn it back to them in like 10 minutes.
Let's go look, shall we? When an animal is adopted out of the shelter, it's neutered, right?
All of them are spayed and neutered, yes.
Okay, even if it's one of these exotics and it's young?
Dog and cat breed, yes.
Just,
if it's
that's the way it goes.
If it's a guinea pig or a rabbit, we don't neuter those.
There's so many jokes. Okay, and that's just a routine process, kind of like the intake?
Yeah.
So to speak.
You know, as soon as the animal's passed its hold period and evaluated and made available for adoption, then we set an appointment with our veterinarian to have it spayed or neutered. The animal can be adopted before it gets spayed or neutered, but it stays with us until that surgery is performed.
Okay, so nobody leaves intact.
Correct.
So to speak.
Well, not if they're adopted anyway.
Okay. Have you ever had anybody escape? Any animal escape out of the shelter? A little Alcatraz thing going on?
I think we had a cat once escape.
Shot through like an open door kind of thing?
Yeah. And, you know, got out of a, you know, because it got out of the room it was in and then, you know, got out through another door and off it went. But we haven't had...
Somehow that's kind of cool.
...escape with a dog once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was actually pretty pretty funny because it was after hours and the dog's kennel did not get closed all the way. So it managed to get out of the kennel it was in. And that kennel was in within a room and he actually managed to open the door, which the
regular door...
It's a regular door that has to pull open and... He managed to get past that, and then he managed to get out of the building by pulling open our back door and was in our Sallyport area, which has a fence and a gate, and he couldn't get past that. So that's what stopped him. But he set off the alarm when he went out the
door. That's what I would figure once, yeah, so one then, of those points, yeah.
So, you know, sheriff's office shows up to see what's going on, and here's a dog in the Sallyport, but they didn't...
I hope one of the staff got that one, just, you know, showing that kind of intelligence.
You know, I wish we had, you know, video to, you know, show him going through all of his maneuvers he had to have gone through in order to get out of that room.
Oh, yeah, the training tape?
Yeah. How to.
Yeah,
exactly. By Bubba.
Every once in a while, we'll hear on the report some of the more unique animal types. You have you mentioned guinea pigs and rabbits. How do you bring in a horse or a pony or goats, you know, these types of animals, or do you even bother with like sheep or goats or things like that?
We do have what's a livestock deputy who does the larger animals and livestock. I do get called to things like goats and pigs, and a couple times I've had goats in my dog kennels in the back of the truck. But horses, we have to call for a trailer to come get them because there's...
Or you drive really, really, really slow.
Yeah.
So how do you know the difference, or is the process different between animals that are livestock types? You mentioned pig. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are some people that have pet pigs and some that don't. You got the FFA 4-H pig, and then you've got the one that... I mean, I would think if you had a chip into a pig, that would be a kind of a rare thing. Is there a difference on how you handle those animals?
I think it
even if you pick them up or not.
Yeah.
Even.
A lot of times we're able to track down who owns them. Because it's seen by neighbors who know where it lives, things like that. If we're not able to, the county farm actually takes livestock animals, and then they're posted on our website as well, like dogs and cats are.
And so you don't need to have the cages and or containers or anything like that?
We do have livestock pens at the shelter, but they're small. It's usually, we put chickens in them usually.
Chickens?
Chickens, mm-hmm. Geese. Ducks,
chickens.
Peacocks. We just got rid of our last rooster not long ago. We had quite a few roosters.
Now, my definition of getting rid of a rooster and yours might be slightly different.
Or, you know, yes, it is very different. The person that took this rooster took him to be a member of her flock, and she came in the other day and showed us pictures of how excited she was, you know, and the rooster's doing really well in the flock.
He's blending in nicely, huh?
Yeah. And she said, actually, he was helping her fend off her more aggressive rooster. So this guy that we adopted to her is confident, but not really aggressive. And she said that she would just have to holler for help, and he'd come running over and push that other rooster away. Which is hilarious, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something you wouldn't think, I would suspect. And we won't even talk about turkeys till we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 848. Before we get into your guys' plug, got a question. Have you ever run into many illegal species? You know, the tigers and the lions and that kind of stuff. Have you?
I have never, and I've been at this 20 years.
Okay. So it's not in our neighborhood necessarily.
The closest to that exotic or an illegal type species. Well, I guess I take it back. Ferrets are illegal in California, and we've seen those plenty of times.
Yeah, okay. That's not an awe-inspiring one, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
The closest I came was I had a case several years ago, and he had two rattlesnakes. Now, they're illegal if they were wild caught, but they are legal if they're captive bred and had no idea what the source was.
The serial number? Exactly. You couldn't make it out? Yeah.
No. Thankfully, I was able to get Fish and Wildlife to get someone from HSU to take those two on.
Somebody just step in your stead.
Because they were not coming to. I refused. They were not coming to the animal shelter.
You whistled and they didn't show up? They didn't come?
No.
Interesting. Big snakes? Have you guys had any of the big, nasty, weird, I'm not a snake person at all?
We've had a few boas that were 5 feet at least in length.
I would suspect you had to have somebody deal with them that was comfortable around snakes.
Yes.
Yeah. I would be at the other end of the building behind four locked doors and no dog would be able to get out find me.
And thankfully we can, you know, for those types of things, we can sometimes reach out to like a pet store that carries snakes and has, you know, people who are comfortable handling them, help us out. You know, housing, you know, setting up. It would stay with us.
Oh, you just wouldn't take them to the pet store and say, here, triple net?
No. Though, you know, they don't. Bringing in a snake of unknown origin is a risk to all of their snakes.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you could bring in some nasty.
Exactly.
And cause all kinds of problems.
Get everybody sick.
Only if you got close. You mentioned a couple times off air about the open house. Pardon me, the ajar house.
Yeah.
The door won't be open. It'll be in a jar. It's coming up. It's a significant event for you guys.
Yes, it is. It's our annual holiday time fundraiser. We usually have an open house and do tours and all that. But the tours will be out. And we won't be doing those. But we will be hosting the fundraiser at the animal shelter on December 11th from 12 to 4. That is the big fundraiser for our emergency medical fund, which helps pay for medical treatment for the animals that come into the shelter that are in need. It has paid for heartworm treatments, broken legs, amputations, eye removal.
All the good stuff?
All the good stuff. Yeah. You know, anything that, you know, the animals need. That
flea?
Flea treatment is, you know, something we cover. So the county budget covers up to $300 in medical expenses for an animal, and then anything above that is covered by the emergency medical fund. And so, you know,
a lot of these procedures are
very
significantly
expensive.
Over $300.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and so we're only able to do that for these animals because of this fund. It is 100% donation based, and 100% of the funds go to, you know, the shelter animals' medical expenses. There's no, you know, percentage that's paid out to anyone else or anything like that. So this is our big end of the year holiday, you know, fundraiser to try and help supply us some money for the following year.
And Taylor's going to have the little hat on with the camera and be able to walk up and down the the cages there and show everybody what's.
I'll live stream it.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Ham.
Mm-hmm. At least you didn't say goose.
I usually have a little bit of both. I have some ham, and then I have a little bit of the breast meat from the turkey.
There you go. Working both ways. See everybody tomorrow.